sheep by name and then leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. One day, I was walking around the Duke University campus with my children, Peter and Emma. We were over in the student center, and we were walking out the doors of the student center, and lo and behold, we ran smack dab right into the Blue Devil. The Blue Devil, you know, the Duke University Blue Devils, the big guy, right? Big head. And he got down, the Blue Devil got down on one knee and gave Peter a high five, and Peter gave him a high five back, and then he went to give Emma a high five, and Emma didn't know what to think about that. So she hid in my arms, right? And the Blue Devil, in a very gracious way, was making like a sign, like, I'm safe, I'm okay, and she wasn't having no part of that. And, you know, me in my ever so gentle and pastoral way that I do things, I said to him, "Well, you know, you are a devil." And he is. I mean, he is a devil, and the devil can be kind of scary sometimes. But what I want to do today is not be scared of the devil, but instead, I want to talk about how we should laugh at the devil. Today, after the worship service is done, I feel like you are going to be fully equipped to be able to go out from this place and laugh at the devil. First off, we don't have to be scared anymore. We don't. Now we can laugh. In the scripture reading we have from the book of John, chapter 10, let me show you where we can find the devil in that chapter. In John chapter 10, verse 10, we see there is a thief. And Jesus says that this thief's primary intention is to steal and to kill and to destroy. And how the thief is supposed to do this is by entering into the city. But see, he can't enter into the city through the gate. So he has to enter in a different way. Whatever way that is, if he climbs the walls of the city, or maybe he burrows underground, or maybe he drops out of an airplane with a parachute into the city, or catapults into the city, whatever way he can, this thief tries to get into the city. The reason why he wants to get into the city is because there's sheep in the city. And remember, Jesus says this thief, what he wants to do is steal. So he's trying to steal sheep. Once he steals sheep, he wants to, by his cunning deceit, kill them and destroy them. So when the devil is in it, remember, there's going to be stealing, and there's going to be killing, and there's going to be destroying. Now hang here with me. Just hang in. Hang on. Because Jesus says in verse 6, or it says in verse 6, that this was a figure of speech. So follow me. I might not totally be talking about murder and nuclear war and stealing candy. Even though those things are still applicable, but there's more than that. So hang with me until the end, and hopefully it'll become a little clearer. Just remember that we are talking about how we are to laugh at the devil. The reason this thief climbs into the city, climbs into the city a different way stems from the fact that he can't get into the city through the gate, because the gate of the city is Jesus, like it says in verse 7. Hear these verses from verse 2 and 3. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. The way into the city is through the gate, and anyone who does not enter the city that way is not the shepherd. Instead, he is a thief. Let me give you a concrete example. And forgive me, this might not be the best concrete example, but I think it's a pretty good one. I think it's pretty good. Like many of you know, I didn't grow up Methodist. I didn't. And the last church that I was involved in was a non-denominational church. And when I received my call from God into the full-time vocational ministry, I approached the pastor of that church and told her about this, and we sat down and talked for a while. Before going any further, I have to just say one thing. In Warren's Grove's history of close to 100 years, plus or minus, we have never, or nobody can recall us ever having somebody from our congregation going into the ministry. And so I just want to stop right here and say, if y'all ever feel like you're being called into full-time vocational ministry, please talk to somebody about that. The beautiful thing about the Methodist Church is because we're methodical, and we have systems in place to help in those situations where people feel called into the ministry. So please, I just want to say right now, we have a very nurturing congregation for people who are feeling called into the ministry. I mean, in many ways, we laugh at the devil every time we put one of these student pastors in, because we say, you know what, devil? We're going to put a rookie up there because we know it's by grace. It ain't by how good he is or she is. It's by grace that we do things around here at Warren's Grove. So please, we have a nurturing congregation. So if you feel that call, talk to me. Talk to your parents. Talk to your loved ones. Talk to somebody. So let me get back to the story. I'm sorry. After we were done talking, so me and my pastor talking about how I felt a call into the ministry, in all reality, at the end of hours of conversation, all that she could really offer me was just a thumbs up and said, good luck. Good luck. The reason I say that is in the non-denominational church, you're all alone, all by yourself. And if you feel a call into the ministry, your options are very small, very small. You could go start your own church. You could do that. You could cause a church split to happen. You could do that. You could try to get the pastor fired. That's another option. You could, pray to God that she dies. I guess that's an option too. You could wait for retirement. There's your options. I can't think of any more, but there's your options. I wasn't interested in praying for her to die. I just wasn't. I didn't think she should retire. I thought she was doing a great job. And I didn't want her to get fired. I mean, I loved this woman. She was like my grandmother. I loved this woman. I didn't want to start a church split. I mean, I loved the church. I still love the church. I could have started a church, on my own, but I didn't feel like I had the knowledge at that time to be able to do that. But notice the church split part. I'm not saying that all church splits are of the devil. I'm not saying that. But look at the motivation for a church split: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you think of the church as a bunch of sheep, which is us, a bunch of sheep, and we are led by the good shepherd, which is Jesus, then the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And he doesn't come through the gate, which is Jesus. Instead, he jumps the fence and scatters the sheep. This is why I have found a home in the Methodist Church. when I explained to a Methodist pastor that I had only met three times about my call into the ministry, he laid out the Methodist method. The Methodist method for how to go into the ministry. Now, to go through that gate into the ministry in the Methodist church, it took a lot of effort, and it took a two-year waiting period to do it with rigorous exercises and activities that I had to go through. I even had to take a whole month and a half off with no employment. It was impossible at the time. Without work and without pay, without insurance, without all of that, and with five people in a family, so I could attend all the things that it took to be a local pastor. I actually should tell you this story. I think y'all will enjoy this. After being here for a few weeks, I came in July, and after maybe it was middle of July or so, I came to Evelyn, and I said, wow. Evelyn gives me my paychecks, Evelyn Duncan. And I said to Evelyn, it's like, man, it's been over 2 months since I've gotten a paycheck. And she said, really? And I said, yeah, you got to go a long time without a job in order to be a Methodist, in order to be a Methodist preacher. And she graciously went ahead and gave me one before, which was very nice of her, very nice of her. But it was tough. Those were tough things to go through. That gate was difficult, but that gate is the reason why I have made the Methodist Church my home. Because we have systems in place to stop thieves from jumping walls to steal, kill, and destroy. That doesn't mean that things don't go on that are a little difficult. I think we can all attest to the fact that the Methodist Church has had its difficulties, and that Warren's Grove has had its difficulties. But we are still here. And this is how we laugh at the devil. We at Warren's Grove are in the business of laughing at the devil. The devil will come to try to make us scatter. Because if we are apart, then we are less strong. The devil will come to want us to get into little exclusive groups that do not allow anyone in. Because if we leave people out of being our friend, that makes us less strong. The devil will come and want us to worry about money, thinking, oh, we can't spend money to help the homeless, the poor, the children, the single mothers, the abused wives and abused children. We have to look out for ourselves because we're just a little country church. The devil will want us to close ourselves off from each other by attaching media to ourselves. What I mean by that is we constantly have to have the television on rather than actually talking to someone. Or we have to have an MP3 player in our ears, or cell phones attached to our face, or iPods attached to our ears so that we don't have to hear anyone. Listening to the radio rather than having a real conversation with your children and our loved ones that are in our cars. Text messaging someone in the next room, rather treating them as an object rather than as a real person. And if you don't think this happens, it really does. The devil will want us to look at women and men as objects rather than as real live human beings. Have you noticed how the ads are becoming more and more where they won't show the face or the head of the model, but instead they will just show the body contorted in some kind of sexually provocative way, and the picture is only of the body, so that we can view women as utility, as object. The devil is about the business of stealing and killing and destroying the church, each other, trying to make us say, you know what, we aren't really brothers and sisters in Christ. We got to look out for number one, numero uno. Numero uno. Julian of Norwich said this while she was on her deathbed. She wrote this after seeing Jesus on the cross. But I did not see Christ laughing. Nevertheless, it pleases him that we should laugh, to cheer ourselves cheer ourselves up and rejoice in God because the devil has been conquered. She goes on to write, I also saw our Lord scorn the devil's wickedness and despise his lack of power, and he wants us to do the same. At this revelation, I laughed heartily and made those who were around me laugh too, and their laughter pleased me. Let me show you a great example of laughing at the devil. In the movie, The Passion of Christ, I will never forget the scene where Jesus is carrying the cross on the way to Calvary. When I watched it yesterday, it was like my heart lost its ability to function. In the scene where Jesus is carrying the cross, he is bloodied and beaten, exhausted, going to his death, while the Roman soldiers kept whipping him, and he fell to the ground. And his mother Mary, like any mother would, started running to his side. And then the scene switches back to Jesus as a 2-year-old boy running and falling like any 2-year-old boy would. And Mary runs to comfort her son, just like Mary runs to comfort the grown Jesus who is in agony and pain, blood flowing from his back and his head. And Mary runs to him because he is hurt and needs her help, she thinks. She has to fix it. She has to help him. And Jesus turns to his mother, mangled and distorted, and says, I make all things new. That is laughing at the devil. And Mary's response should be our response, to laugh with him. By believing him and following him, for he is the good shepherd. And he can take messed up people like you and messed up people like me and make us new. As new people, let us laugh at the devil by taking off our iPods, MP3 players, cell phones, and actually having a real conversation with each other rather than having the media be the mediator of our relationships. Let us gather to praise God on Sunday mornings rather than thinking of any number of reasons not to worship God together. Let us give to the Christian Help Center, Youth for Christ, the Domestic Violence Shelter, the Pregnancy Support Center, while at the same time build a building. Those things aren't either or. That is a both and. Let us love our enemies. Let us worship here together, even though sometimes we get on each other's nerves. Let us take care of the sick. Let us take care of the dying. Let us not look at other as some sort of utility or object. Let us not view women as objects. Let us take care of children. Let us take care of people in other countries. That is laughing at the devil. The devil right now is outside of those doors, looking for a way in. And I mean that literally. I mean it literally. Looking for a way in. But Jesus says he is the gate. And Jesus is our good shepherd. The devil wants us to be afraid to take risky steps in ministry that might not work. I'll give you that. They really might not. They might not work. How about this? Let's laugh at the devil and do it anyway. Now, I'm not talking about stupid things. I don't think we should do anything stupid. I agree. Nothing stupid. But awesome things are happening here in this church. And the devil would love to tear that down.